It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White,
is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios.
And it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
I called up my buddy Eric. We got some pyrotechnics in the building today. Grand finale.
That was a good one.
Grand finale.
That was a good one.
It seems like 4th of July in here, don't it?
Yeah. It's one of those fireworks where it gets you in your chest.
Yep. It was synchronized to music and everything.
Yeah. Synchronized to the Undertaker theme.
The Undertaker theme. Shout out.
Shout out to the Undertaker, WWE.
That's right.
Good wrestler. I don't watch wrestling.
He was in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah. I don't even watch WWE, so.
His real name is Mark?
Yeah, I think so.
He should stick with Undertaker.
Oh, goodness. I started to say that, and I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I don't remember his last name.
Mark Calloway.
Thank you. I would have.
I like Undertaker better.
I would have thought of that all day. Yep, good old Mark Calloway.
But today is Tuesday, April 26th, the year 2022.
Wait, it is?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was like 1984.
Gosh, something. If it was 1984, I'd be 9 years old.
Wow.
Actually, maybe John Easter.
Actually, 8 years old at this point, because I would not have reached my 9th birthday yet.
You know, when I was 8. Not be 8.
You guys were not yet.
I think my dad was like 5. My mom was 4. Or thanks. My mom was.
Thanks, Owen.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Just reminding me I could, you know. Be your father, I guess, because I'm that age.
My dad, I think he'd be, or my mom would be like 3, about to be 4 this year.
I know he's listening right now.
Yeah, probably is.
Hello, Mr. Pulley.
Is Mr. White listening?
He's our...
No.
No.
He's our ghost source sometimes.
Yeah. Purse sources.
Yes.
Purse sources of the sports spotlight.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
Sometimes he has some intel.
So, oh great oracle of the sports spotlight. Otherwise known as Jackson White. What's on the show today?
Well, we have the NBA playoffs to talk about. NFL draft.
I'm so excited to talk about the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. It's
so exciting right now.
It's interesting whenever your team isn't in it.
Yeah.
But, man, it's still
that'll change
to get
next
out there.
Year.
Hopefully.
Well, at least one team isn't in it anymore. So.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Kind of happy.
The NFL draft is this Thursday. For the Colts, the NFL draft is this Friday. But for every other team, it's Thursday mostly. IndyCar races this weekend as well, and a little bit more as well. So lots to talk about. And,
possibly a news coming out any day of a 33rd entry.
Yeah, that
I'm pretty sure. Isn't there like a big race coming up in like almost a month away?
Yeah, 34 days now to the Indianapolis 500.
I've never heard of it. They say it's like the greatest spectacle in racing. I don't really follow.
The greatest spectacle in racing.
I don't really follow.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. No. I heard they have 32 cars, and they want another one.
I'm telling you, we need to buy like some car off a used car lot, and then paint it black and purple and call it WBD G-Team, and we have Jackson Drive.
And put up, what's our
We already made that announcement this week that Jackson is going to be the 33rd entry.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Of course, we just have to get IndyCar approval for that.
Right.
He's driving the Menards car,
mm-hmm.
as you know, for his employer.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to slap a WBDG bumper sticker on it.
I work at a go-karting place. I can drive a go-kart. The same thing as an IndyCar, right?
Same thing.
Right.
Same absolutely. Thing.
100%. Absolutely. There's no difference.
Absolutely.
No difference.
No, no difference going from the go-karting to the big cars.
I work in Speedway. Like, I'm close to the track.
Right.
Haven't you worked there, like, once?
I've worked one shift. I think I work like next week.
He's a professional now. One shift.
I've raced there before. I just haven't. I've only worked there once.
Did you have it? Okay. I know this is off topic, but we're always off topic for like the first 10 minutes. Did you have anything catastrophic happen on your first?
Because
there's always that one guy.
I was working one of the turns.
You know who I'm talking about. There's that one guy.
Right.
That's just.
Right.
Yeah.
I was working for my first day. It was like one of the toughest turns to work because it's like the most stretch of track that you have to work.
Right.
And it's like winding turns.
They probably give that to the new guy on purpose.
Well, they were going to have me work the flag, like start finish. I was just going to wave the flag.
Right.
And they were like, one kid didn't show up. So they're like, all right, Owen, you're on turn 7 today.
Oh, goodness.
So they put me on turn 7 and like the third or fourth race of the day, some dude goes into the turn and like flips his cart around.
Oh my.
Like he's facing the other way and they don't have reverse on him. Right. So like you have to like push him into the wall
manually
and like do it. It took me like a minute to do it. They're like, you messed up.
At this establishment, they're like the actual real.
They're pretty
souped
good.
Up carts.
Yeah. They're pretty fast.
Yeah. And I went there and I had to get in the big boy carts. Those are a little slower. I learned quickly what it's like to be the back marker at an IndyCar race, getting out of the way of everybody.
Yeah. The blue flag is your best friend.
I was, no offense, because he's not going to be a back marker at Indy. I was Jimmy Johnson for his first few races.
Yeah.
Just trying to get out of everybody's way.
That's what I don't understand with Jimmy Johnson is he raced NASCAR. He was very good at NASCAR. Why is he, even last year, he did road courses only. He didn't do oval.
Different cars.
I don't get it, though, but like he's good at oval. I get it's a big jump.
He's done one oval in his career. Yeah, and he finished fifth.
Why has he done one oval, and he's doing all these road courses?
He's doing all the ovals this season.
I know, but I'm talking about last year.
But we've only done one oval. He didn't do ovals last year.
He didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Last year, he only did road courses. He didn't do ovals.
That was in his contract. Mm. His wife didn't want him to do ovals.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he just decided not to do ovals.
He had to talk her into, because, you know, IndyCar ovals are
a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah,
than
they have a reputation of being more dangerous.
Yeah.
Than I wouldn't even say more dangerous than NASCAR, but they're just dangerous because you're exposed,
right.
You know, in the car.
But we did go back to my place of business where we had interesting things happen. One girl was going, and I buckled her in, whatever, tightened her straps, and she had her phone, and I was like, put that in your pocket, whatever, and it fell out. So. I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't damaged or anything. But, like, we stopped the race and we had to get it. But it was fine.
Red flag.
Yeah, we did. We had to red flag and hold up the X's.
I had fun when I mean, it's a lot of fun. And I got to say that I hurt for, like, 2 or 3 days after that. Just from the, you know, driving the car.
The first time I drove there, before I worked there, my hands were hurting, like, after the first race.
And there was one guy that lapped me. He had to be about 50 times. It just seemed like he... This guy was just zooming around. You knew he was one of like
some of the carts are faster, and like the more you work there, you realize how much like some of the carts are faster and slower.
But it's cool to, I mean, again, they're not a sponsor, but it's cool when you go there and you look up and you see Alexander Rossi, and you know you see like
one of the
you
times
see the
I
names
in,
up there.
One
Connor
of the times
Daly.
I went in like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was Rinus VK had the top time of the day.
Yeah.
So that's
always cool. That's one of the reasons why it's cool to be in Speedway.
Yeah. All right, that was a long tangent.
Yep. Okay. Off tangent now.
Going back to the NBA playoffs.
But before that, we have a Twitter account that you can follow us, @S_spotlight. And Twitter is now owned by a billionaire.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. So he is the new master
Elon,
of Twitter.
Can we get that blue check mark for the
I
sports
hope he
spotlight?
Does it get up a win for you? Get a blue check mark. You get a blue check mark. That'd be pretty funny.
I don't know. I think he might get like a blue check mark to everyone who is like a real person. And then.
That would devalue the blue check mark.
I saw a thing on TikTok and you can get like verified pretty easy on some other apps or whatever. Like apparently if you send in like your actual like whatever on like dating apps, you can get verified. So like you can say you're verified on an app.
You gonna get verified, Owen?
Owen wants to be verified on dating apps.
Not on dating apps. I'm just saying, like, if you want to get.
That's what you said.
No. That's not what I meant.
That's what he said, wasn't it?
That's not what I meant. But like, I saw a thing. And it was like
your face is getting red now.
It's not even red. It was like if you want to get verified.
Is his face not red?
It's not red.
Is his face not red, Jack?
His face is red.
My face even red.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah.
Sorry, we just had to call you because you said that.
That's not what I meant. But.
Well, we got verified, and I still don't know how WBDG got verified. We just woke up one morning, and I had the email in my inbox. Congratulations, you've been verified.
Did you request to be verified?
I did not request to be verified. Huh. But us and Warren Central, WEDM, we both got verified on the same day.
Next up, HG2, Giant Junior.
Don't know.
Getting verified.
Giant Junior getting verified, yes.
Yep. So, I don't know. I guess they were doing it. And pro tip. So if you get verified, Jackson White, don't ever change your.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Your
handle
because then you'll be unverified.
Yeah, because they think it's a different person.
Yep.
Wow.
So there you go.
How do you know that?
@Jackson_13.
I forgot.
If you
her
ever
name,
get verified, you got to stay.
I forgot her name, but I'm pretty sure she went to Ben Davis, and now she's like on.
Channel 4.
Channel 4.
Yeah, Leah Blackburn.
Yeah, she changed her name.
She moved from. Terre Haute, where she had her station name in her to Aaliyah B on TV, I think is her current
and then
one.
She got unverified.
And they unverified her. And she was mad. Well, I don't know if she was mad, but she talked about it on Twitter.
Well, don't change the WBDG account.
Nope. So we're at WBDG Indy.
You can change your profile picture, though. You're good. You did that for National High School Radio Day.
Yep. We change our profile picture, sometimes.
Yeah.
Probably make a WBDG marathon thing. So, anyway, are we going to talk about?
We got time.
The playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs. Yeah, playoffs. Who talks about playoffs?
You're supposed to talk now.
Oh, yeah. And welcome back. but the NBA playoffs is an interesting place right now. Only one team has advanced past the first round, and it's the congratulations to the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Well, 2-seed in the Eastern Conference, defeating the Brooklyn Nets in 4 games. And the Brooklyn Nets, a team that was supposed to win the NBA championship this year, gets swept in the playoffs. And it's just funny. 2 years ago, the two best players in the league, you'd probably say LeBron James and Kevin Durant. LeBron James and Kevin Durant have combined wins in the playoffs this season, 0. Me and Owen have the same amount of wins as LeBron and Kevin Durant in the playoffs this season. So if that tells you anything, that is something to think about. Is Kevin Durant's time as a top-tier player over? As he really struggled in this playoff series. He did have 39 last night in the loss, and you could say it's not really his fault. Kyrie Irving had 20 points. Andre Drummond went out early. But this Brooklyn team is not that good, at least to an extent. Both the Lakers and the Nets, kind of two teams that had high hopes, lots of veterans put together. But it did not work in the end. Both teams did not come out with a playoff victory. And the real question everyone's asking around the sports world is Kevin Durant's prime coming to an end?
It sucks to see if his prime is coming to an end. I mean, some of these NBA guys, you see their prime, and it seems like it's never ending. I mean, LeBron seems to have one off year, and then everybody's like, oh, it was just a year, and then he comes back and has a great year, like he even did this year. I mean, didn't make the playoffs, obviously, but still had a great year. And I think that Kevin Durant is kind of like that, and he kind of struggled in the playoffs this year. Struggled a little bit in the offseason. Not terribly, but I think that he can bounce back next year and have talks about him.
Well, the real question is, obviously, I don't think his prime is coming to an end. But is his time being a number one player on a winning team over? Because we saw in Golden State, the number one player on Golden Warriors was Stephen Curry. Obviously, Kevin Durant got the finals MVP, all that. But that Golden State team does not win any of those championships without Stephen Curry. And when he was in OKC, obviously he was the number one, but he never won a championship. He was close,
right?
But he lost to LeBron. Now we're looking at him, and obviously the Brooklyn Nets couldn't even squeak by the Boston Celtics in a single playoff game. They lost all four. Obviously, there's lots of drama. Kyrie Irving only plays half the season. Ben Simmons is a baby. Everything else going on. I mean, there's a lot going on for the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously,
Harden.
They lost James Harden for Ben Simmons, but, I mean, that was a toxic relationship to start. I think we also, I could have told you that probably wouldn't have worked.
Guess what the cautionary tale is, that team chemistry still means something.
Team chemistry means everything.
Right. I mean, especially even in a place where, it's the NBA, where it's superstar-driven. If you get too many superstars on the same team, oftentimes it doesn't end up well. I mean, if you look back at some of the great Chicago Bulls teams or even some of those Lakers teams that were really super good.
There's only one ball.
There was, right. And you had Kobe and you had Shaq. But other than that,
right.
I mean, could the run-of-the-mill fan name anybody other than Kobe and Shaq on those Lakers teams? When you look at the Bulls, you go back to the 90s Bulls, Michael Jordan. You know that when the shot clock was going down, you knew who was going to get the ball, and it was Michael Jordan.
Right.
It just like you knew Scottie Pippen was on that team as well. Great player, all-time player in the NBA. But when you look at these teams, I think you got to build them with a couple of options. You got to build them with a couple scoring options, and then – after that, You got to. I did say this is again. This is totally separate from the NBA, but IU has outranked Purdue in recruiting every year going back to 2012. Now, who's had the better run?
Purdue.
Purdue. And I think that's because Matt Painter recruits to his needs. Matt Painter wants to run an offense with a guy who's 7 foot in the middle. He wants to run an offense with a guy who's a really good guard. He want, you know, he's got his needs, so he'll recruit to his needs. He may have the 35th recruiting class in the country, whereas a team like IU, at least in the past, I don't know if Coach Woodson will do this as much, but he's got the 5th-ranked recruiting class coming back this year. He recruits for the fences. Get as many 5-stars, 4-stars as you can get on that roster. So I just think that you have to, when you're an NBA general manager, you have to realize that if you're going to put a bunch of superstars together, you're going to get a bunch of superstar egos together and a bunch of guys that are used to getting the ball.
I mean, going back to the...
Like you said, there's only one ball.
Going back to the Bulls, like what you're saying, everybody's talking about how, oh, MJ wouldn't have been anything... The Bulls wouldn't have been anything without MJ. The Bulls wouldn't have been anything without Pippen and Rodman either, because they had a shooter...
But the Bulls weren't anything without MJ.
Right.
The years that he...
They weren't. But
was gone.
He helped, but they had
in
the shooter.
Since.
They had the shooter in MJ. They had the passer in Pippen, and they had the rebounder in Rodman, and that was what worked.
But
and now you
had the Stone Cold Killer,
right?
In Michael Jordan,
you had Michael Jordan. That helps obviously if you had Michael Jordan compared to some G League.
I mean,
point
guard. I just saw this weekend they were doing a thing, and they brought up 1986 when Michael Jordan was just a baby, and he beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. In the playoffs, he hit the shot.
Yeah, that was the last shot. That was like the most iconic picture,
right?
Besides the Jumpman logo.
But I will say that they did defeat the Phoenix Suns because John Paxson hit a 3-pointer.
Yeah,
in the corner.
But you had
still,
Steve Kerr too, who could hit threes.
Steve Kerr, maybe it was Steve Kerr. But
going to that, I'm gonna just hop in here real quick. The most important thing on a winning team is the role player.
Yes.
As you said, Painter obviously gets to his needs. All those guys aren't going to be stars.
Why
they're
is,
role players. They fit the role of what you need.
Why is Ben Davis so good?
That's what I was going to say.
Because they have players who do certain things. Why do you look at all the championship teams right now? Obviously, the Phoenix Suns are down right now because Devin Booker is out. But whenever they have Devin Booker, their star, they have a knockdown, stone-cold killer in Booker. They have a great passing point guard in Paul. And they have a really good center in Ayton. And then they have a bunch of role players around.
And why was the Ben Davis girls? Why were they so good this year?
Well, because their defense.
Defense, but they had players that adopted that role. They knew they weren't going to outscore people, so they knew that they had to stop people from scoring. So
I was thinking more boys, too. Because
sometimes you have to have
people
who adopt that role, especially in basketball, where you have 5 people on the floor. You can't have 5 superstars on the floor at once. And I think that's where the Brooklyn Nets figured that out. And to be fair, some of their key players, through injury or other reasons, didn't play a lot this year. And that was definitely a key of why they're the 7th seed, why they weren't maybe the 2nd seed or the 1st seed in the East.
Durant missed a bunch of time. Irving, obviously, we know what happened with him.
Even but if they're great on the court.
Self-inflicted wounds on that, as far as I'm concerned.
Even if they're great on the court, I mean, if your locker room is trash with egos and trying to think of the word, like compatibility with each other and everything like that. If it's just, if nobody's getting along and everything's going on like that, what's that going to transfer onto the court than off the court?
Right.
Well, of course. But with the Brooklyn Nets, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, two teams that were expected to face off.
Everybody,
in NBA finals.
Everybody was saying, oh, Nets, Lakers, and finals.
Obviously, I didn't think that. I thought both those teams would be atop their certain conferences, but I was wrong. Look at both those teams, and you look at the age of both those teams, and they're old.
Right.
The Brooklyn Nets are old. The Lakers are the oldest team I think we've ever seen.
Right.
Both those teams, I mean, if you put both those teams back a little bit, they're amazing. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets have Blake Griffin, who did not play in the first 2 games in the series. And Blake Griffin, put him even 4 years ago, was averaging 24 points. And that's just, and obviously it's just different, because obviously a bunch of stars together probably wouldn't work anyway.
Right.
As we've seen, look, go back to the Lakers in the early 2010s. They got all the superstars, and they stunk.
Even earlier than that, with Gary Payton and
Karl Malone.
Malone,
they didn't play well as either.
You know,
you look at the Rockets back in the 90s whenever they got Charles Barkley and all the boys. They didn't play well.
Oftentimes, too, on a championship team, and like Robert Horry is a good example.
No.
He was a championship
knockdown shooter.
Championship player on multiple teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find a guy like him. Dennis Rodman is another guy. A guy you have to have because he's a rebounder, defender.
He'd go games with 0 points and 20 rebounds.
He not only won championships in Chicago, he won them in Detroit, too.
With so the 80s bad boys.
You find those guys, and you know, if none of those got...
Sorry, I meant to move. I moved my hand and accidentally hit the mic. I'm sorry.
It's like... Looked like you thumped the microphone.
No, I meant to move my hand up and actually hit it with my pinky.
Apologize to all of the people and their speakers out there.
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, I think we've kind of made the point now that when you put together a team, you can't just try to get the five best players in the NBA on a team or five top 10, 15 players. You're probably going to have a bad season, or you're going to get involved where the egos kind of clash. And, you know, poor Steve Nash. I mean, I don't know what kind of coach he is because...
We don't know.
Steve Nash would suit up and go out there.
I mean, he probably could have helped them. But Steve Nash, who knows what kind of coach he is? He'll probably get fired now.
It's just,
and probably won't get another job somewhere.
They said they're not going to fire him. So
we'll see what happens. But
that's obviously immediate reaction, obviously. Right. We don't know in the coming days and when the season comes over. And going back, to, even in the modern day.
I mean, if you're a fan, right, are the Pacers more fun to watch than the Brooklyn Nets?
Whenever the Pacers don't have Malcolm Brogdon on the floor, yes.
Yeah, right.
The
Pacers at the end of the season. They were fun. They were just really fun to watch. They didn't win, but they didn't try to win, I don't think.
But you can look at what they're going to see in their future. Like watching Halliburton and all those guys, like all the new guys play. Like, I was like, oh, we're going to be good in the next couple of years.
Hopefully.
But the Pacers are right now constructing themselves in the right way, I think, to be something. Right.
Oh, I mean, you have to be able to build through young players. You cannot go get all these 35-year-olds and expect them to play as they're 25.
Right? I mean, watching the Nets in the playoffs, they had to win four games to win whatever. Like, you have to win these four games. And the Pacers are trying to lose whatever.
It doesn't matter. I know we're talking only Brooklyn Nets. Give the Boston Celtics credit.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
team was bottom half of the league for start of the year.
Yeah.
And they went on a run, and they've been on a run ever since. They have a first-year head coach. Obviously, he has experience as an assistant. Brad Stevens moves up to the front office. And
Is Danny Ainge is still involved with that?
No, he's gone.
Is he gone?
He's now in Utah.
Stevens is the Danny Ainge role.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at this team, and they just have a really good fundamental role players. You have obviously your star in Tatum. You have Jaylen Brown, also another, I would say, star. You have your defensive lock in Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year, by the way. And you have Al Horford, a guy they traded away a couple years ago. They ended up bringing back in a deal, and he's been a big piece for them. Last night he had 13-6 in only 26 minutes, but he has been a really big piece for the Celtics in building that locker room up. And then you have other players like Grant Williams, a guy who can shoot the three really well. Robert Williams, a guy who's been much improved, obviously coming off an injury, came off the bench the past two games, but he's a guy who kind of reminds me of a Miles Turner-like player who just strictly blocks shots. Obviously, Turner, a better offensive player. But Robert Williams, another good guy. And this team just has they draft well. I think we know that. And they have role players, and they have their stars. And
you know,
they're a scary team.
You mentioned that. They have their role players, and they have their stars. And I think that's what you have to do. Yeah. You have to have one or two people that – keep you up at night if you're an opposing coach.
Brown and Tatum.
And then a bunch of people that are role players who can help you. Let's say those guys have an off night. You got to have another guy who can go get you some points. You have to have a defender. You have to have a rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to have that sixth man coming off your bench. And if you can fill those spots, go back to, and I hate to keep going back to the 90s, but you go back to the 90s Pacers. They were a well-constructed team. They ran into the Bulls many, many times. They ran into the Lakers as well. But that was a team that was constructed with Reggie Miller as the star. Usually had Rick Smits, who could do a lot of things. He wasn't like a traditional center. He was more like a small forward and a 7'4" body. But you had Rick Smits there, but then you had the Davises, who were rebounders, defenders, lockdown, don't come in my lane guys. You had Derek McKee, who they called him Heavy D for a reason because he had the defense, the defender. You had guards coming off the bench. You had Mark Jackson. You had Jalen Rose. You had Travis Best. I mean, these are all role players in the NBA. So, you know, that was how the Pacers really constructed themselves. And I think that's still a blueprint for what you can do in the NBA. Certainly the NBA's changed a lot. They don't score 90 points a game anymore like they did back then. But, you know, the NBA certainly changed a lot. But you can still construct a team that way and be pretty successful.
Yeah, and then now we look ahead to another playoff series that's going on. And this one is this is wild.
Humdinger.
The Raptors taking on the 76ers.
Yeah.
And the 76ers obviously on the other side of the Nets trade with James Harden and Ben Simmons. And the 76ers hopped out to a 3-0 lead versus the Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors are a team that no one really expected to do anything this season. They have, I would say, a top three head coach, Nick Nurse.
Yep.
I would say he's right there. That guy is a mastermind.
He's there every year.
Yeah, and obviously an NBA champion head coach with Kawhi Leonard hitting that shot over Philly. Philly up 3-0. Toronto's 1-2 straight.
Right.
And they're hot.
Now you got that pressure on you, too. Because if you don't close them out now, then it's 3-3.
It's 3-3.
It's like, oh, boy.
And you go here to Game 7, and obviously that's going to be in Philly, and that's probably the worst place to play a Game 7 at. Philly fans are mean.
They booed Santa Claus.
They would boo anything.
They literally booed Santa Claus. The Eagles fans did.
The Eagle fans are something.
Yeah.
Eagle fans are...
used to have a jail in the vet. They did.
But you look at this game right here, and obviously this was Game 6. Game 5, excuse me. On the Raptors won 103-88. Jabril Embiid, 20-11. It has came out that he has an injury that will require surgery after this season. That is big. He had 20 points, 11 rebounds. Danny Green, a guy, NBA champion on a few teams, Spurs, Raptors, and Lakers.
There's that Robert Horry kind of guy.
Yeah. He's a guy who's done it all. Tobias Harris, a guy who got max contract money, only had 16 points in this one. Tyrese Maxey, a rising star in this league, only had 12. James Harden, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists. I think the end of James Harden is looming. I think James Harden is going to fall off the cliff. James Harden, the way he plays, and so effortless, eventually it's going to end. And I think we're seeing the collapse of James Harden.
Well, and
right in front of us.
Two, I mean, as with anybody in the league, James Harden is not, I don't know how to say this delicately, so I'll just say it. Not known to be the best conditioned guy in the league.
He's not. He is. He comes to camp overweight.
Right.
Obviously, give him credit. Whenever it's game time, I mean, he's put up some big plays.
Right.
But we are watching beyond us, and it's just hard for, at least me, you've seen it, at least me, all these stars that I grew up with.
Right.
Not too many of them have fell off yet.
Right.
And James Harden's obviously a mega superstar. He's about to fall off. I have a feeling, maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. But James,
I just gave you the James Harden meme.
But James Harden.
You're right.
I mean, he's played poor.
They all hit that cliff. And for some players, it's a graceful decline. Reggie Miller had a graceful decline to his career. And then he finally stepped out at the right time where he still was a role player on a pretty good Pacers team that did well. But he wasn't the guy anymore. It was, you know, when he left, it was Jermaine O'Neal. He was the guy for the Pacers at that time. So, you know, you see that, but sometimes they don't know when to leave.
They
hang on, and then you really see the skills decline
And I don't think James Harden's at the point where he's just going to, like, be out of the league.
Fall off the cliff, right?
I mean, he's still a really good player, but I just don't think he's the caliber that what people still look at him as.
But I think... Two, you have to really realize, and I don't think like Michael Jordan realized this and some of the other players. I think Kobe did. I think Kobe stepped out at the right time. But you have to realize that it's happening to you, that you can't do the things you used to do, and you're not the guy maybe that you were. And that's tough for a player, especially that caliber, to understand. I think Kevin Durant, we talked about him earlier. I don't think we ever really answered your question.
I don't think Kevin Durant falling off yet.
Right.
I mean, he's still Kevin Durant, but I think it could be coming soon. The only guy I don't know if it's ever going to come is LeBron.
LeBron is...
he's a freak.
He's a freak of nature. But then again, and I'm not bashing on James Harden, you look at the effort that LeBron puts in to keep himself...
conditioned and ready.
In that, I mean, gosh, the guy is a physical titan.
Oh, I know.
And he's every year you see... He continues to pound his body the same way.
And he puts millions of dollars back into his body.
Right.
And that's something you see other guys in the NFL, Russell Wilson, doing.
Right.
And these guys, they do not relax. It's constant.
And I'm not saying that, again, I'm not bad because I'm, if you've ever seen me, I'm not the picture of health. But what I'm saying is I'm also not an NBA player.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I think that at some point that conditioning, especially in the grind of an NBA season where we've seen a lot of things change over the years from, well, you got to play 82 games. You got to play 82 games. You got to do it. You know, we've seen that change to load management and other things. And well, now this player's not going to play.
Now it's, you have to play 57 games because 57 is the cutoff for your stats counting towards the year.
Right. So, You start seeing things like that, I can imagine you learn things about the human body and over time, and if you're stupid, you keep saying, oh, he's got to play 82 games. Nobody does that anymore. That's just not done in the NBA because we found out that your body breaks down and you're not as good of a player if you overwork yourself. So I think you have to find that happy medium, but certainly, the difference, I think, sometimes between LeBron and why he stays the way he stays and why some other players fall off is LeBron, you can criticize him, you can bash him, you can say what you want about him, but LeBron keeps himself in tip-top physical shape.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think anybody can, you know, bash him for that because LeBron is always he's one of the best physically conditioned players. He's the kind of guy that could go play NFL football.
You could put him on an NFL team right now, and he'd figure it out.
He would.
And he'd probably be really good.
That's why he's kind of a unicorn
when
it comes to the NBA, and why it's hard to, like, when you put him historically, it's hard to compare him to Michael Jordan because different times, different NBA eras.
Different positions.
Yeah. LeBron could play more positions than MJ. LeBron could play all five positions.
LeBron could play one through five.
So the when you start comparing that, you start, oh, he's got these many rings. It's really... No, LeBron is he is an NBA unicorn because there are not many that have been like him, nor will be like him. So it's hard to compare people to LeBron, but that's one of the reasons why at 37 years old,
37, yeah,
he's still leading the NBA in scoring. And so it's amazing.
And it
still has gas in the tank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he can get a good team around him, they're going to be right back up, whatever team he's on next year. I would assume the Lakers will be right back up top. But now you look at NBA stars in the past who have just kind of fell off a steep, steep, steep cliff. You say Tim Duncan did.
Yeah.
He had a really good 2014 year. 2015, dude was averaging 10. He struggled.
But what did he do?
He made it to playoffs.
Yeah, but he didn't stick around.
No, he left at the right time.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade kind of had a steep decline as well. Dirk Nowitzki, you could say probably stayed around one too many years, but he kind of went out at the right time. I don't think James Harden is at that point yet. James Harden still is in his low 30s. I mean, I'm not saying he is a spring chicken, but he's only 32.
But 32 can, I mean, it just depends on, like, how many miles are on that chassis, you know? That is a guy that's, I mean, he's not going to go as far as LeBron.
Oh, no, I don't see him going. And in this series, he's only averaging 17.
Right.
And 17 for a guy, I mean, and Philly gave up a lot.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not calling James Harden lazy. I'm not calling him anything. What I'm saying is that he does not have the biggest reputation for being in the best physical shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's documented. So what can he do to prolong his career? Well, maybe work with a trainer. Not that he's not, you know, again, I'm not in James Harden's camp, so I don't know what he's doing. But I mean, there are certain things that you can do to extend your life as an NBA player, extend your career, not extend your life, but extend your career as an NBA player. Keep your skills going too.
And I mean, this series, I mean, we've kind of gone on a couple tangents here, but this series was 3-0. It's now 2-3. No team has ever came back from a 3-0 lead. I mean, that would just be the 76ers are a team that has had so much drama around them in the past couple of years. Obviously, their head coach, Doc Rivers, you know, he comes with a little bit of baggage as well. His reputation, at least of late, has not been the best when it comes to winning playoff series. Really, since he won in Boston, he never won. He probably should have won at least one with the great Clippers team.
Yep.
They had some really good teams. That team was loaded with stars, role players. Just could never get it done in the playoffs. They always lost to the Spurs or the Warriors. You have probably, I would say, the best center since Shaq and Joel Embiid on your roster. You have other good role players, Danny Green, kind of like the Robert Horry of the modern age. You have great players, and if you're going to lose to a Raptors team that in all reality went into the season looking to rebuild, I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't win this series, I think he's gone, and I don't know what the future of the 76ers holds.
Right.
Because you went all in for this season. You went all in to get James Harden. You went all in to win a championship, and if you're going to blow a 3-0 lead to the Raptors
in the first round,
in the first round of the playoffs, I mean, change has to come. I mean, there's just no way you can run it back having that happen. And last season, this team was in the Eastern Conference semifinals, I do believe, versus the Hawks. They lost that. Ben Simmons, obviously, we know what happened to him. He got shell-shocked, couldn't make free throws in the end. But this Philly team has been here so many times, and they just continued to lose consistently in the playoffs, and they just it's always the same. And if they lose this series, they're gonna be a bomb over that facility,
yeah,
to say the least. But we will see. Obviously, this game was in Toronto, so actually this was in Philly, so they're heading back to Toronto. That's a scary place to play. I mean, those Raptor fans are not, I wouldn't say mean, but they're loud,
right?
And they're extremely passionate about their Raptors,
and really, they're still kind of playing with kind of the pressure of, I mean, when you get down 3-0, you don't have much. Obviously, you have the series to lose, but nobody's really expecting you to come back from down 3-0. So maybe the pressure gets a little bit different for the Raptors now because they've won two in a row. Now it's 3-2. No,
the Raptors have all the momentum in the world.
They have the momentum, but they're also pressure starts kicking in at some point because when you're down 3-0, it's like, well, we got nothing to lose. Let's, you know, if we lose this game, we're out. Let's just put it on the line.
Yeah.
You know, how many more times can you keep doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's 3-2. Now you're like, well, maybe we can get back in this. So the thought mentality changes, or the mentality changes a little bit for the Raptors.
So we will see. That's probably going to be the series to watch. If that goes the distance, that is going to be something.
Yeah, get it to game seven. That's all Raptors are hoping.
Then go win it in Philly. We'll see. And it'll be history.
Mm-hmm.
History in the making, we could possibly see. Other games going on. There's a series that's tied Pelicans-Suns. The Pelicans have won two straight.
Yeah.
And back to Phoenix, Devin Booker not going to play the rest of the series. The Pelicans are a team that looks scary good.
It didn't really start out that way
series. I thought it was going to be a sweep. And then I think Kevin Durant's all his skill has gone to Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
He has been on a tear.
He's been really good.
And McCollum has been playing well. Valanciunas. Just imagine if they had a guy who was number one. Zion
Brown?
No, not Zion Brown.
Zion
Williamson.
Zion Williamson, that's
it. Yeah, imagine if they had him. Who knows what they could have done? I guess he's healthy.
Although Zion Brown would be really good.
Oh, Zion Brown. I mean, he could give you 20 any night.
Yeah.
Hi,
Zion.
he could call the game and give you 20.
Yes, exactly.
But this series is another one that could go the distance. 2-2.
For those of you new to the show, Zion Brown was our program director last year here at WBDG. Thought I'd fill you in on that. That's
why. And then he handed it to me.
Now he's at Indiana.
He's at Indiana University. The shirt you have on.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I'm wearing an IU shirt today.
Yeah, so that's where he's doing a lot of good things over there. But he's actually appeared on the show before as well.
Yes.
So
been a guest.
He's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Gotta have friends of the show.
Yeah, always have friends.
But I think that series is interesting because the Suns were such a huge favorite.
I mean, they won 60 games.
Right.
And the Pelicans are a team in all reality didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs if the play-in didn't exist.
Right.
Because the Clippers had a better record. And now this team, they could win a playoff series.
2-2.
We will have to. That's going to be an
interesting. Talk about pressure.
But
it is not on the Pelicans.
It is not. Yeah, you're correct. Also, the Mavericks and the Jazz played last night. The Mavericks now up to a 3-2 lead over the Jazz. They blew them out by 30. That's another big thing.
Quinn Snyder there, not happy.
The Jazz are kind of in a position where if they don't win a series here, I think changes are going to be made between their stars.
Be interesting to see how many offseason changes we have in some of these rosters.
Yeah, and the Jazz are another team that has role players that have good coach.
Again, nickname fits Utah so well.
The Jazz, Utah. I mean, who listens to Jazz in Utah? But it's kind of a...
Probably somebody does.
Yeah, but it was actually originally for New Orleans.
Right, that's where it should have stayed. But that's a whole different...
Oh, well. Oh, well. But yeah, the Jazz and the Hornets. Not the Hornets. That's... I am all confused. But the Jazz...
And the Pelicans.
Pelicans.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we're both spinning.
Yeah.
Pelicans are the new team in New Orleans.
Right, and the Pelicans are playing the Suns.
But the Jazz are playing the Mavericks.
And the Mavericks. We'll get this right.
Yeah, there we go.
You know what we're talking about.
Luka Doncic is back for the Mavericks. He played the last two games, and Luka had a classic Luka game, 33 points. And the Jazz down now 3-2.
Of course, the Mavericks coached by Rick Carlisle. I'm kidding.
Jason Kidd, former Jason Kidd, Rick Carlisle. Yes. Rick Carlisle's point guard whenever they won an NBA championship.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Jason Kidd, now the coach over there in Dallas. Obviously, Rick Carlisle now rebuilding the Indiana Pacers, where we're located, Indiana. But this is another really good series. It's going
to
be interesting.
I wanted to be clear. I was joking there.
Yeah. Just jokes.
No, yes. Because, we totally messed up nicknames there.
Oh, we messed up everything.
Yeah, we did. We're just messing up.
But it's okay. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, the Sports Spotlight, second half right now.
It's live radio, folks.
Live radio. We make mistakes, but we fix them. But, yeah, lots of games went off during the weekend. But there's some games tonight as well in the NBA. Before we switch topics, the Hawks and the Heat. The Heat played Victor Oladipo in their last game. He played well. He didn't really have 10 points, but he had 9 rebounds. So Victor Oladipo getting back in the Miami Heat lineup after not playing the first three games. So Oladipo back, it seems like, for the Heat. The Hawks and the Heat going 3-1. The Hawks coming off a victory.
Mm-hmm.
No, not a victory, but coming off a loss, but they did win game 3.
Right.
The Heat looking to close it out tonight in Miami. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. A series that is tied 2-2, the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, both two teams, very young, very kind of, looking forward
exciting
to the future.
Exciting to watch
series. That's going to be a good one. That's at 7:30. And then the Suns and the Pelicans knotted up at 2 apiece in the series, looking to take an advantage. This will be played in Phoenix, so that will be interesting. Tomorrow, Bucks Bulls. Reported Zach LaVine will not play. He's in the health and safety stuff. So he's not going to play in that one. That's their superstar, so the Bucks looking to take advantage of that series and hopefully win it as they're up 3-1. Golden State versus Denver. The Nuggets came away in a win over the weekend to hopefully not close out the series, but Golden State looking to do it tomorrow night at 10. And then Thursday are all games that are TBA besides the Raptors and the 76ers, so we will talk about that next Thursday.
Yep.
But looking ahead to the NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts do not draft this Thursday. They draft Friday our mock draft, at least for the first round, the first couple picks at least. I'm going to try to do one. I'm not really too familiar, but I'm going to do some research in the coming days to get ready for the NFL draft. The Colts do not hold a first-round pick, but they do hold a second-round pick, pick 47. And hopefully I can pray the Colts select a receiver in that selection right there.
Well, and again, it's got to be somebody who couldn't come in here and help Michael Pittman Jr., help Matt Ryan be better, and you would hope that they would address that. I would also accept a left tackle if they were able to find somebody who would fill that role. But we'll see what happens on Friday with the Colts. Again, Chris Ballard is very good in the second round over his career with Indianapolis. So probably his most successful round, I think you could say.
I mean, just look at all the stars. He's got Taylor, league best running back.
Yep.
Right there with Derrick Henry. Michael Pittman Jr., Braden Smith.
Yep.
Just to name a few.
Darius Leonard.
Can't believe I forgot him. He's should be a defensive player of the year by now. I mean, that is just a star-studded second round.
He's done some good work in the second round. And, you know, once again, I think it speaks to how good the Colts scouting team is.
I mean, they're the best drafting team, I think, in the league, at least of late.
Right.
Really since 2018. I mean, they're drafting Pro Bowlers every draft. Obviously, last year we kind of, I don't know if we missed on anyone. We'll have to see how Quiddy plays this year. Upcoming season.
Saw flashes of him being really good.
Yeah, we'll see. There's no guy who came out and played amazing last season in the draft for the Colts, but you're not going to hit on every pick.
Right.
And we don't know what's really going to next year, if they still don't play as well. Quiddy Pay is still a good starter. Let's just leave it that way. But the Colts this year have 7 current draft picks. They have the 42nd pick. They had the 47th, but I was wrong. They switched it with the Washington, and I forgot.
The Commanders.
Yeah, so
42
in the second round.
I should have caught that.
They have pick 73 from Washington in the third round. They have a fourth-round selection, 122. They have two fifth rounds, a 159 and 176. They have a sixth-round pick, 216, and then a seventh-round pick, 239 from the Eagles. So the Colts, 7 picks. Will they have more? Will they move back? Who knows? It's going to be an interesting one. NFL draft for the Colts begins Friday, and it's going to be streamed everywhere. You could find it. I think it's on live TV the first 2 nights. So,
yes.
I don't
know. And I also, I think you hit on some things there. But the biggest thing, I think, for the Colts is if you have the guy that you want at 42, you make that pick. But if you don't, can you slide back and get some other assets and still get somebody you want?
And even let's say you want a guy at 42 and you think he's going to be there at 50. You can move back 8 picks and get like a fourth as well, which is depth. And you know how much Chris Ballard loves depth.
He does.
So that's something to watch out for. The Colts, will they make a trade in this draft? I would probably put money on it. They always usually make a trade. Will it mean it's going to be for a player?
Chris Ballard likes the deal.
Probably not. I mean, Chris Ballard, I mean, look at even this offseason. He's been willing and dealing, and it doesn't seem like it because it's not every day, but he's made some big trades to help this team improve, and I think we're going to see that in the NFL draft. Hopefully a receiver comes off the board at 42, but we will have to see. But our final topic of the day.
Let's just say, for example, not to derail us again, but what would you accept other than a wide receiver?
I hit the mic. But yeah. I'd accept a left tackle. I think that's a position of need. A tight end, I don't really know if there's any really good tight ends there. That's another, I mean, it's a blaring position of need for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I don't want anything at pick 42. I think our defense is set. I wouldn't be mad if they took a high-skilled linebacker or a cornerback, I think, or a safety. I mean, all those positions could use depth, but I think we're kind of figuring it out at all those positions. Especially with the Gilmore addition.
What pick would make you throw something at your TV if they were to, if the Colts, you know, with the 42nd pick of the NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts select
a running back? I mean,
that would make you throw something at the TV?
I would have to say a running back. I would be okay with a quarterback as well. I mean, I don't really know too much. I know this quarterback class is weak. I'd plan on next year. because they have their first round pick, so it gives you a better chance of getting a better guy.
Well, they do right now.
Right now, who knows? Unless, but by then,
there's
it'll be
a, there's a big ball hanging in the air with the Colts still being a potential trade partner for Deebo Samuel.
I'd give away the first for him in a heartbeat.
So, I mean, that's still hanging in the air.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Colts and the Niners like to talk, as they really, in all reality, they were talking a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo. Yep. I think that's obvious, before Matt Ryan even came available. Obviously, DeForest Buckner.
Jimmy Garoppolo, still a 49er.
A 49er, by the way.
Baker Mayfield, still a Brown.
Still a Brown, but we got our guy, and that's all we got to worry about. But we'll see. But I would have to say positions I would be pretty mad about. Obviously, left guard.
I think we're pretty set there.
D-tackle. I think we have Glover Stewart and Buckner. I think we're fine.
Center. I think Colts are set there.
Yeah. Obviously, running back.
I think if you want to try to add some depth to that offensive line, that would be good, too.
I mean, the right guard is kind of still position. Painter's supposed to be filling there, but will he? We don't know. I wouldn't be mad about, but I mean, the Colts have no offensive weapons. Let's just be honest. Besides Jonathan Taylor,
they really need some help there.
And
of course,
it's the glaring pick.
And of course, if the Colts do, let's say before Friday, get on the phone and get Deebo Samuel here,
I still think
that would change. Did that change any of the calculus?
No, I still think you need another weapon.
Right.
The Colts right now have Michael Pittman Jr., and then you look at the top of the ladder, Pittman Jr., at least to the Colts rankings. You go down, obviously, they like to say Paris Campbell. Dude can't stay healthy. I really, really hope. He's a good guy. He's fun to watch when he's healthy, but we haven't seen him healthy. I really wish he would just explode and be great, but I don't think he will, and I don't know. I really hope he does. Let's just say that, but I don't know. And then they have some other pieces too. T.Y. Hilton not back on the team yet. I do expect him to come back. Reggie Wayne, now the receivers coach.
I just did the T.Y. dance.
I think if obviously tight end is a glaring thing for the Colts. Mo Alie-Cox, he's had opportunities to be the guy, and it obviously seems they don't want him to be.
And he does not like Indiana Rhodes. He tweeted about potholes yesterday.
Well, he's going to play here next year, but he does not like the roads, and I agree with him.
Yeah.
Indiana roads are quite terrible, especially around here.
Yeah.
But tight end is a big thing. I mean, tight ends are usually what you get in the third round, unless there's like a Gronk, and I don't think there's that.
I don't think there's anybody you jump at.
So
somebody falls to you, sometimes you'll see 42 is kind of hard to see. Somebody falling that far that may have been thought to be a first-round pick, but occasionally it happens.
I mean, there's going to be first-round talent in the second round.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's first-round talent in the third round. You just got to find it. And the thing the Colts have done, they've found good picks in those selections.
Scouting.
And the Colts have, I think, one of the best scouting divisions in the league. I think it's top three. In all reality, if you ask me, you put stars to stars, Pro Bowls to All Pros, the Colts have the best drafting team since 2018.
And what I like, too, is they do so many good things on social media. You kind of see how it works behind the scenes,
up
too.
With the next pick. Yeah, that's such a great thing the Colts do. And it just really shows how NFL draft boards work and how the draft works, and they really, at the end of the season, they get started.
Yeah,
they're scouting, and there's so many people involved, and it's not like just because this guy is soul set on this guy, it doesn't mean they're going to pick him.
Right,
they get everyone's opinion, and obviously,
and all your work can go out the window because your pick could go right before you. So you got to be ready for whatever's going to happen. You know, you really have to be ready for two or three picks at the same time that you're getting ready for your pick, because let's say somebody, you've got your eye on a wide receiver, somebody picks that wide receiver, now you've got to figure out what you're going to do, because there may not be another wide receiver that you want right there. So
that's why the Colts, I think, they field their picks every time. Let's just put it out there, I'm just going to say a random team, the Broncos. Let's say they want 42. You have them on dial before your pick, probably 10 picks before your pick. If the guy you want there is gone, you call Denver and say deal. That's what they do. And the Colts are known for that. So we will see. It's going to be interesting. NFL draft officially starts Friday for the Colts, where they trade up to the first round. I wouldn't see a reason why with the assets they have. But who knows? Debo Samuel could be a Colt by Thursday. It's reported that if he's going to get traded, it will be prior to the start of the draft. The Colts do not have a first-round pick in the first round this season, which I think ends the hopes of the Colts getting it.
And two, you don't know how much of this is subterfuge, you know, and just people playing poker. Because some you get to this point in the draft, sometimes Debo's people may be telling Adam Schefter's and Chris Mortensen's and people, they may be saying, hey, I think so-and-so is interested in us. And then that goes, that becomes the reports that you see. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly where all the information's kind of coming from, or is it the 49ers that's talking to people, you know, the 49ers people, are they talking to people, or the Colts? Colts usually don't leak.
Yeah, nothing comes out of the
Colts. So if it comes out of the Colts, it's got a specific purpose. So, you know, the backdoor channels and agents talking to people. And this is when it gets really interesting because it's a big chess game. So NFL draft coming up this weekend.
This weekend it's going to be
Thursday,
interesting.
Thursday,
Saturday. Friday, Saturday. Do they go to Sunday? No, I don't think so.
I think it's 3 days.
Yeah, because I think they do 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, and those rounds go pretty fast.
Oh, I mean, it's just like there's a monkey announcing picks. It's you turn on the NFL draft on NFL Network, right? And you'll look and, oh, it's Reggie Wayne announcing a pick. Oh, it's a monkey announcing right. A pick. Like, it's just, they get really creative in those backgrounds. But it's going to be interesting. And then once the NFL draft is over, we can talk about it next Tuesday.
Yep.
So, and this Thursday, we'll talk about it even more. But our final subject of the day, the IndyCar race, is coming up. We're going to talk about this more in depth this Thursday, as it's sooner. But IndyCar is finally back after another 3-week hiatus.
Yeah, just like it's been so long. I think there have been children born since the last race.
Oh, many.
Yes.
But
last time they raced, they were in Long Beach, and Joseph Newgarden, the winner in Long Beach. Team Penske continuing its dominance so far of the season. Since then, they've had the open test at IMS and some interesting things there with the open test. They had, of course, the incident down in Turn 1 with Elio and Will Power. And so they got together and fixed that, it seems like. And so now here we are getting ready to enter the vaunted month of May in Indianapolis. But before we get there, we've got the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama down in Barber Motorsports Park just outside Birmingham. Tremendous race facility. It's a sellout, which I think is really cool. The Sunday, I mean, everything's gone. They have still had like tickets left for some of the support races and stuff. But as far as Sunday goes, it's a full house. And, of course, you got to go with the favorites. And it was, once again, Joseph Newgarden, who has won at this track before. But we can dive more into that this week. But this is one of my favorite races of the year. It's a first natural terrain road course of the season, whereas – you know, Long Beach and St. Pete were both street races, so you were driving on city streets. This is a dedicated road course, and it's one of the best that IndyCar goes to. It has lots of elevation changes and lots of opportunities for passing, and it's usually a very exciting race. I know a couple of years ago they had some rain, which always adds some interest to it when you get some rain out there with the IndyCars. And certainly I know Joseph Newgarden a couple years ago made a huge mistake. And you never know, and that pretty much set him up to be coming from behind all year with the championship. So, you know, this I think something to watch this week is the Andretti team. How do they respond to kind of some of the bad luck that they've had starting the year? And can Alex Palou, who's been very consistent, Scott Dixon, who's been very consistent, can those guys move up and you know, actually win a race before heading to the month of May? Indy is double points too, so you want to get yourself in position to make sure. Actually, I take that back. I need to check on that. Indy previously in previous years has been double points, but I think they may have taken that out.
I don't know if it is. I'm not really too
I think they may have taken that out. I'll check. We'll know Thursday. Yeah. But the when you look at what the what IndyCar has to offer this weekend, I think once again it'll probably be Team Penske up front with the with their three cars, Scotty Mack, Willie P, Will Power, and who's had some very hilarious things he's done on social media this week. Apparently, Will got into the karaoke machine this week, and it's pretty funny if you, unlike me, are not blocked on Will's Twitter.
You're blocked?
I'm blocked. I have no idea why Will Power blocked me on Twitter, but I have him elsewhere. But, you know, Will Power, I would say Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, and Joseph Newgarden will probably be the heavy favorites heading into the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama, and we'll see what happens. We'll talk more about that on Thursday.
Yeah, so this Thursday, we'll talk about, obviously, the Grand Prix at Alabama. It's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, the favorite probably right now would be Joseph Newgarden, who's won two straight.
And he kind of considered this as another home race for him. He's from Tennessee, so it's right there.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, now they have the Nashville race, which is in his home. You know, I think he's from Franklin, Tennessee. So I think it's going to be a very interesting race. Even though Team Penske has dominated this year, it's still been interesting back behind them, especially as you see Romain Grosjean, Jimmy Johnson. You see all these guys that are still good rookie class, as we've talked about. There's still been a lot to think about, even though Team Penske has dominated the first three races as far as the wins. And they've been in the wins, the top fives, everything else.
It's been the year of Penske, and they had a kind of an off year last year. So it's good to see him back up.
I will say this. Scott McLaughlin, Joseph Newgarden have won the races so far. If they fall off, which is possible, they have a bad race. I mean, anything can happen in Indy because, you know, you have hopefully 33 cars there at Indianapolis. So anything can happen in Indy. But if one of them drops off, you got these other guys that have been real consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Blow, Scott, some guy, maybe you've heard of him, Scott Dixon.
The Iceman?
Yeah. I think he's won, like, what, seven championships, something like that. He's been very consistent. So those guys are going to be looking to keep themselves in position so that if Joseph Newgarden or Scott McLaughlin or somebody has a bad race, it's just so tight right now in IndyCar at the top that, you know, Penske's doing some great things to be out in front. But, you know, we'll see what happens with this race and as they get ready to prepare for it starting this weekend.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one, but we'll talk about that more this Thursday. So make sure to tune in this Thursday at 1:15, the NFL draft, NBA playoffs, more. I mean, this Thursday's show is going to be a loaded one. So tune in then, and hopefully less tangents next show because we have a bunch to get to. And if we're going to be on here way past our normal time if we don't get to it all. But this Thursday, it's going to be a good one. We'll see you then. Till next time, goodbye.